The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
Hey guys, it is a pleasure to be with you. We're so glad that you're back in town. Those of you that are returning, let me clear some of this stuff off here. We'll get on it. It's good. Kelly and I, my wife Kelly, sitting right here with this sweet little Chinese girl, our daughter Sadie. We spent the summer, now she's getting all shy, we spent the summer in State College, as we often do, and it's a fantastic place to be. We love it. It's so pretty. So many great, fun places that you can be outside in State College in the summer. But it gets lonely after a while. And so we're always so glad when you guys finally come back, when the students come pouring in, and you can just see it's just night and day. What a huge difference. So welcome back. It's been fun to see so many of you. Last week, we were at the lake. Who was down at Raystown with us? How many folks were there? A whole bunch. We go down to Lake Raystown every year the week before school starts just to kind of get together and to plan and do some leadership development. That was a great time. And at the pool party and various things this week. So for all you returners, thanks for coming back. We miss you. We're so glad you're here. We just want to welcome you home. But not everybody here is back home. Some of you are here in a new home. How many folks here are freshmen? How many first-year students? Wow, good job. Welcome to Penn State. We are so glad that you are here. And how about transfers? How many of you are transferring in? Good number of you too. Yeah, all kinds of new folks. You guys, we're going to be having an ice cream social after the meeting, right out here in the hub, just kind of out in this room. We'll have some creamery ice cream. Some of these flavors. There'll be a couple of chocolates, I think. Several versions of chocolate, from what I gather. And it's going to be a great time. So we're so glad you're here. We're going to get together and connect. And I look forward to meeting a bunch of the new folks. So please introduce yourself. Give me a chance to get to know you and learn your name. Thanks so much for coming. For those of you that are new and don't know kind of the glory of Penn State or the glory of Penn State at University Park, you are in for a treat. Just, I think you're going to have a fantastic time. I love college. My wife and I, we went to school. We met James Madison University. And I love college. It was one of, many folks would find college to be just one of the sweetest times in life. And that was absolutely the case for Kelly and myself. We just loved it. And if you think about it, it would really be hard to find a place like college where there is such a rich community. There's something unique about living literally within walking distance of hundreds of your closest friends, where every meal is basically all you can eat, where there's tennis courts and swimming pools, where you've got more discretionary time than you're ever going to have for the rest of your life. You think you're busy, but you're not. There's really no reason to be bored. No reason to be lonely. Just look around. There's community, opportunities for relationships everywhere. I think a college campus, and this among them, is really one of the most idyllic settings that you can ever be at. And if you make wise decisions, and in particular, if you pursue relationships, and if you'll pursue relationships with the right kind of people, I think your time here at Penn State will be filled with joy. And I hope it is. We really hope to be able to facilitate that for you. When I was at JMU, I had a friend, a guy named Mark Peterson. And Pete was my RA my sophomore year. And Pete loved life. Loves. He's not dead, to my knowledge. He loves life. And he loved to play. And he loved to do fun things. And I can remember him constantly. Oh, he'd use the same line of reasoning with me over and over again. I'd be studying, reading some book, preparing for some test. And Pete would come up to me and say, you know, Henderson, are you going to remember the grades you got on that test in 50 years? No. Come on. Let's go make some memories. And off we'd go, and we'd go do some ridiculous thing. And I remember one night in particular where I was studying for something, and it was pouring. It was just an absolute downpour outside. And Peterson comes by and pulls that same line. Are you going to remember this? No, come on. Let's go make some memories. And we went off, and we went to this hill, and there's a whole bunch of folks gathered. We made a bunch of new friends, and we were sliding in the mud, and we completely destroyed the field, just wrecked it. I saw it the next day, and it's like, you know, the grounds crew is like not happy. And our clothes are just destroyed. But just like he predicted, I have no idea what class I was studying for. I have no idea at all. But I have memories from that time. In fact, when I was working on this, I was thinking, my sophomore year, can I remember any classes that I took? And the answer is one. I can remember one class in my entire sophomore year. It was my educational psychology class. And the only thing I remember about that entire class was that I met Kelly. So, class smash, okay? Just make some memories, have some fun, build relationships, and do the things that you're going to care about for the rest of your life. I had another buddy, a guy named Chris Rooker. And Rook and I had so much fun with Rook. He's such a great guy. My junior year, I was an RA myself, and I lived in Wayland Hall. And on the front door, right next to the front door of Wayland Hall, was a big yellow sign, right, with a yellow circle and black triangles cut into it. Now, you guys are young. You didn't live through the Cold War. Anybody know what does that mean when you see, like, a yellow circle on a building with black triangles? What's that mean? Yeah, you do know this, okay? So you got fallout shelter written across the top. So in this building where I was an RA and therefore had access to keys was a fallout shelter. Well, that, for Rook and I, that really kind of captured our imagination. Like, what the heck is in, what would you put in? I mean, I don't know, gas masks or, like, canned goods? Neither of which is all that exciting, but for some reason, we wanted to get in. Where's the fallout shelter? How do you get in? What's in there? I mean, just glory's hidden in this thing. And so, because I was an RA, I had access to this ridiculous cabinet of keys. Just hundreds of keys. And so late one night, Rook and I went through every key in that stinking cabinet, looking at this one particular door. There was a door in the basement at the end of the hall that I'd never seen opened. There was never any light coming out from it. It was kind of like a sub-basement, so that one side, you know, was in the dirt, and the one side had windows. And this door, there was never any light. We thought, this has got to be it. I mean, there's no way you're not going to get to the fallout shelter from, like the third floor, right? I mean, it's going to be in the bottom. So we tried every key on this door. None of them work. So we failed at that. And then one day, Ricker gets a catalog in the mail that's kind of targeting people that think they're in the military but really aren't, right? You know that whole, bless their heart, that whole segment of society. So they sell stuff like night vision goggles, which are sweet, and these belt buckles with like a rapid release knife, just in case, you know, you don't have, there's no time, you need it, right? And Delta darts. You know what a Delta dart is? Anybody want to admit you're in that group of people? They're like plastic knives that are really sharp, but they don't set off the metal detectors, so you can get them on an airplane just in case you need to kill a terrorist or whatever. So they got all this sweet stuff in this catalog, right? I mean, it's like a dream. Every page, like, incredible, incredible. And they sold lockpick kits. So we thought, there it is, right? So we ordered a lockpick kit, like $15. And we taught ourselves how to pick locks, how to scrub locks. And it's not that hard to scrub a lock. We got to the point where we're about, you know, batted around 500. So about half the locks that we tried to pick, we could get into. And then we totally wussed out. And we didn't break into the fallout shelter. And I have no idea what's in there to this day. Isn't that a crappy story? Like, it's like, what happened? Nothing at all, okay? And Rook and I, we went back like 5 or 6 years after we graduated, and I went into that dorm just to kind of look at that stupid door, and it's got an electronic lock on it with an alarm, and I'm like, oh, this makes me sick. There's something in there. But A, I have no idea how to pick electronic locks, and B, if I do, I go to jail, right? When you're a student, when you're an RA, you do whatever you want to do, but it's no longer true. So I look back, and I have made good memories with Peterson, and I blew it with Rook. And I wish we'd made that memory, and I just wonder what was in there. Okay, so you're thinking, okay, ramble, Campus Crusade rambles. Okay, what's your point? The point is this. Life is all about relationships. That's everything. Life is all about relationships of love. And the memories that you make while you're in college are the things that are going to make life worth living. Everything. Your best, your happiest memories are going to be the things that you did with your friends. It's not going to be the grade you got on some test your sophomore year that you don't even remember. Don't squander the opportunities. All the good stuff in life, all the good stuff in college comes in the context of relationships. All my happiest memories do involve other people, and yours will be exactly the same. So here's the question. Why is that? Have you ever wondered, okay, if you're willing to grant the premise, why is that? Why is it that the deepest longing of every human heart is to be in a relationship? Why is it that pretty much the worst thing you can do to somebody is to put them in solitary confinement? Why is it that the universal longing of the human... let me guess. For you. Is it true that the number one longing, your deepest, most ardent desire, is that someday you would be married? True? Amen, right? And you're right. You're right in that, because being married is the best and sweetest thing. You long for that. Why? Why is it that everything we want is relationship? Why do we do that? I want to propose to you tonight that reality that you... Oh, yeah. No, that's funny. You. Yeah. No, I'm like, did my zipper fall? Like, that was like... I'm like, what happened? Propose. Right. I proposed to Kelly a long time ago. One time, one woman, for the rest of my life. I would like to suggest to you that that reality is rooted in the deep theological truth that God is Trinity. But you may not have ever connected those thoughts, but I want to kind of walk you through this. God has what theologians call a triune nature, which doesn't come up in conversation a lot. Are you triune? No. But God has a triune nature. It means he exists and has always existed. He is one God and only one God. But he exists, he has always been, always will be, three people. One God, three people. That's always true. He has not just a personal nature, but a super personal nature, a multi-personal nature. He is three and one at the same time. Which means, if you think about it, you guys, that long before there was anything else, there was already relationships. God was never lonely. There was always intimacy and adventure, love and interaction among the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Constant relationship, constant play, constant love, constant delight. Have you ever wondered what God did before he made the world? You know, if you can, it's hard to think of time before time, but what was the Father doing for the 100 billion trillion years before he made the world? You know what he was doing? He was delighting in his Son, who himself was responding with infinite love and affection and honor, while the two of them enjoyed absolute camaraderie with the Spirit, who himself reciprocated with infinite loving deference back to the Father and to the Son. It was, for all the time, before there was time, a perfect community, a family, a relationship. The three persons of the Godhead loved and served and adored each other, constantly putting the interests of the other above themselves. If you strip everything down in his most fundamental nature, if there was nothing else anywhere in the world, there was nothing but God, he would be a party. He would be a dance. In fact, that term dance is the very word that the early church used to describe this interaction, this interplay that existed for all of time between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They didn't speak English, so they didn't say dance. They said perichoresis. Perichoresis. Choresis means to dance. A choreographer writes a dance. And to perichoresis is to dance about. And that's what they call this interplay between the Father, Son, and Spirit. It is the perichoresis, the dancing about. Loving, adoring, orbiting, dancing around each other. That is the spring from which the universe flows. And you guys, that party, that dance, that community, that family, that was the life that Jesus had known from all eternity, which is probably why, in the time that he was on earth, he spent so much of his time talking about relationships and serving each other and loving each other. Tim Keller, who's a pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, who taught me much of what I'm sharing with you tonight, he observed this. He said, when Jesus said, quote, you have to lose yourself to find yourself, he's only telling you what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been doing from all eternity. Loving each other, serving each other, adoring each other, revolving around each other, putting the others at the center of their universes. Guys, before there was hydrogen or oxygen or carbon or iron, there was affection and camaraderie and love and relationships and honor and deference and delight and joy. All of those things precede and supersede everything else, including work and wealth, power, prestige, the accumulation of things, accomplishment, all of those things, the things I just listed, those are the things that we tend to build our lives on. And for many of you, you came to Penn State to acquire those things because you think that those are going to be the things upon which you can build a successful life. And can I just say graciously that you are mistaken as long as you hold on to that belief. Those things, wealth, power, prestige, those are not the building blocks of life. Relationships of love are. Relationships of love are greater than all of those things. And that, you guys, is why life is all about relationships. The world was made, the universe was made by someone who is a relationship. You were made by someone who is a relationship. And to top it all off, you were made in his image. So it gets even more powerful than that. If you have a Bible, go ahead and break it out. And if not, Megan, go ahead and throw this up on screen. Typically, we would really love you guys to bring Bibles to crew. And we'll have them for you, too, in case you forget to bring one. But if you got a Bible, bring one every week. We don't have a whole lot to say that it's not sourced in the Word of God. So if you got a Bible, go ahead and bring it. That way you can take notes on it yourself, kind of mark it up. We'll have some for you next week. We don't typically have it on the screen because we really do want to encourage you to kind of like look down and make sure that I'm not making this up, because I could type anything on that. We want you to see what God has spoken. So we'd love you to bring your Bibles. But just for this week, we'll take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. And I'll draw out two things for you here. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, "Then God said, quote, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Okay, two things. Number one, who is he talking to? Did you notice what he says? Let us, plural, like man in our image, in our likeness. Because that's the first hint in Scripture. It's pretty early. 26th verse of the Bible begins to hint that God has a multi-personal, a super-personal nature. Before there was creation itself, there was already community. There was already an us to talk about. God is a community of persons who have always known and loved each other. Second, check this out. We are made in his image. It says that male and female, we are made after this pattern, which means that you were made in the image of a supremely relational God. But you're not triune, right? Any Trinitarians in here? No, right? You got a simpler, singular nature, which means that unlike God, you have to go outside of yourself if you want to find community. You can't. God can kind of go inside himself within his various relationships. You can't. And if you can, you have far bigger problems, right? You've got to go outside into other relationships. You need people. You need friends. You need community. And so it's kind of like this. Imagine for a second, imagine for a second that God is a cube, okay? In that regard, you would be more like a square. Okay, you're made in his image. A square is like a cube, but it's simpler. God's three-dimensional. You're two-dimensional. So you're like a square, but you're made for cubedness. And if a square wants to be a cube, what does it need? More squares. Yeah, right? That's why you need relationships. You're made in his image, but you're made incomplete. You're made to need him, and you're made to need each other. Okay? We're squares made for cubedness. We're people that are made for community. We need him. We need others. It's just the way it is. It's just the way that God made the world. Okay? So at Crew, we major on this all the time. You heard Tim say when we started off, the Crew is a community where the gospel does all this really sweet stuff. We talk about community incessantly because we want to foster community. We want to experience community. Everything we do is we think about community all the time, relationships. Not just community, though, because there are some relationships that are really particularly fun. They tend to be romantic, one-on-one guy-girl relationships. And next week, Hirsch is going to kind of zero in on that. So I get the big, broad generals of community. We're talking about that. Hirsch gets the sweet, hot, romantic stuff. So that's going to be good. So come back next week, and Roger's going to make the case for how to make that work. He's been married for, Hirsch, how long have you been married? 36 years. This guy knows relationships, or knows relationship. One. He's never proposed to 400 people that I'm aware of, so he's a good man. So next week, Roger Hirsch is going to take us through that. When we think about community, I'll tell you one very influential passage of Scripture that we go back to all the time. It's really, we kind of take our bearings from this. It's 1 Thess 2:8. 1 Thessalonians is one of the letters in the New Testament. You can flip there if you want to, kind of towards the back. All the T letters are all kind of stacked together in alphabetical order. But it's up on screen here. Megan, 1 Thess 2:8 says this: "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." And we'll talk about this passage probably several times throughout the year, but I just want you to catch this. Two things. We want to share our lives with people. We want to share our lives here in this group, right here within Crew. We want to be a family. We want to be a community where there is love and interaction and play and delight. We want to love each other. But we also really want to love people that are outside of this little circle. We don't want to get all insular and just kind of selfish. We want to love people all around us, people in your classes. You should be loving your neighbors, people on your floor, people in your classes, the people that are easy to love, the people that are hard to love. We want to share our lives. We want to make other people be dear to us. Second thing we want to do is we want to share the gospel with each other. And again, we need to do that right here in this room. Christians need the gospel. We need to hear over. I need to hear over and over. You need to be told over and over that you are so, just like what Jen was saying, as I gestured wherever Jen is. There she is. Hey, Jen. Just like Jen was saying, we need to hear, you need to know until you believe it, until it seeps into the deepest part of your soul, that you are a mess. In fact, that you are such a mess that God had to die for you. But it also needs to seep into your soul, just as deep, maybe deeper, that you are so adored, you're so treasured, that he was glad to die for you. We need that. We need to hear that, that he had to die for us, that he's glad to die for us, that we're a mess, that he loves us. We're going to talk about that week after week after week after week, because our soul's never tired of hearing it. We need it. But we're not the only ones that need it. People outside of this room, the 42,000, the 43,000, the 44,000, however many it is, all those students, they need to know it too. And so we don't want to hoard that message. We don't want to be selfish and say, you know what? We found out the secret of life. We know what it is to be connected to the most, to the central source of everything good in the world, but shh, you can't find out. We want to tell people. We want to do everything we can in the most clear and relevant and kind and gracious and gentle and humble ways to make that message known throughout the campus. We are all about sharing our lives with each other in the campus and sharing the gospel with each other in the campus, because life is all about relationships. Dig it? That's what we're all about. That really, in a nutshell, is what CREW is all about. So, by way of application, I want to invite you to become part of this community, our community. We've built it. We're building it. It's constantly in a state of flux, and you would be a delightful addition. We'd love you. There's room for you at CREW. We would love you to be here. You will bring things to CREW that no one else can bring. You will change the flavor of this place. You'll bring life and joy and relationships to other people, and we would just be delighted to have you here. We hope you'll come. We hope you'll stick around. And I want to give you four tips, real quick, okay? Four tips. Welcome to Campus Crusade. Welcome to Penn State. Four things to consider. You ready? Number one, leave your door open. Who lives in the dorms? Who's living in the dorms? Wow, like everyone. Good job. Okay, here's the deal. Especially for the first 3 weeks, if you're not naked, your door should be open, okay? All the time, just incessant openness, okay? In fact, even if you are naked, I mean, that would be exciting too, right? Leave your doors open all the time, okay? You're not going to make relationships on your floor. If your door is shut all the time, nobody's going to, like, knock and say, hey, my name's Tim. I was wondering, want to be my friend? But if your door's open and they see a poster and you're like, hey, check out that poster. Like, not a poster of you naked, but just like a different poster. Then they're going to come in, it's going to be great, and you make friends and you get to know people, okay? But if you keep your door shut, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be sad, you're going to be lonely, and you're going to transfer away from Penn State because it was a terrible, wretched experience. I'm completely serious. Leave your doors open. Okay, that's number one. Number two, come to stuff. We do stuff all the time at CREW. Okay, tonight we're having this ice cream social. Come, join us and hang out and work through. Like, I'm an introvert, and I don't like small talk and working through the conversation. I just feel stupid all the time. Anybody feel that? Right? Okay, here's the deal. Suck it up. Play through it, okay? Play through it, because there's no way to get to the good stuff except kind of walking through that. Hi, what's your major? You know, that you got to get through it. So come. So tonight, stick around. Eat ice cream with us. Be happy. Make some friends. Forget their name. Feel like a tool. Ask their name again. Do that. Do all that stuff, okay? Play. Walk through it. Can you do that? Tomorrow, we're having a big... Did we mention the picnic yet? Freshman picnic? Am I letting the cat out of the bag? There's a secret picnic tomorrow. Come to it. And make friends and walk through it. And then this weekend, there's like 100 other things going on. What are we doing? Like, I should know. Decades dance, party, dance. God is a dance, party. So come to that. Just come to stuff. Make relationships. Walk through it. Make friends, okay? Leave your door open. Come to stuff. Three, what should you do? Get in a Bible study. Just like Jen said, get in a Bible study. These meetings are fun. Hope they're fun. We intend them to be fun. But there's a lot of people here, and it's hard to get to know people when there's like a lot of people in the room, right? And you're an audience member. You're not a participant. And there's just a lot going on. So what we do is we break this thing up into a whole bunch of little groups, small group Bible studies, tend to be maybe 6 to 10 people. Almost all of them are single gender, which has advantages and disadvantages, I recognize. But single gender, small group, 6 to 10 people. They meet about once a week, the last, an hour and a half, something like that. And they're fantastic. And that is where you're going to make your best friendships. The guys that I was in Bible study with when I was a student, they're my best friends to this day. They were the groomsmen in my wedding. We get together once a year, all of us, and we have a reunion. And I love these men. They are after we graduated, after our Bible study days were over, we formed a covenant together. There's 7 of us that we would be friends. We'd hold each other accountable. We would rebuke each other if somebody got stupid and their marriage started to die. We would be on each other for the rest of time. And we write every 2 weeks, one of these guys writes a letter to the rest of the guys, and we just rotate through updating what's going on in our lives. They are my closest friends. They have been for, when was 1992? That's when I graduated, 17 years ago. Those are the relationships that will change your life. So we love you, encourage you very much, get in a small group. In fact, I'm going to time out here. Look in your seat. You'll find one of these. Right here, this is an About You card. What I'd like you to do right now, and we'll play a little mood music and put you in the mood for filling out a card. And we'd ask you to fill this out. Now, here's the thing. This is really important. If you are on staff with Campus Crusade and you're pretty sure that I therefore know you because I've known you for like 10 years, fill out a card, okay? If you think, yeah, but you know me. I'm Joey. I lead the band. Fill out a card, okay? If you're outside and you can hear my voice, fill out a card, okay? Everybody, fill out a card. And what we're going to do is we're going to dump these things in a database tonight, and then we're real quick going to figure this all out, and we're going to get back to you and let you know where the Bible studies are that are best for you based on the information you give us. Unless you tell us not to, we're going to add you to our email listserv so you can find out what's going on. So this baby right here, this is the key to being on the phone directory so we can tell you what's happening, being on the email list, finding out about small group Bible studies. So there should be pens around, cards around. We'll take a minute, fill them out, and then we'll pass them in. Okay? Mood music, go. Couple more thoughts and we're golden, all right? Thanks for filling those out. Really appreciate that. We'd love to serve you, and those really helps us to serve you well. And we'd love to help you get in a small group if you want to. That'd be great. Okay, so leave your door open, come to stuff, get in a small group. And number 4 is come to the fall retreat. Wow. Yeah. See, that's the right answer. You guys, every year, a major turning point for dozens and dozens of students is our fall retreat. I got involved, I'll tell you briefly my story. I got involved with Campus Crusade my freshman year, the week of the fall retreat. So not like the first week, you know, it was like the 5th week of the year or something. I came to Crew, there was all this talk about this fall retreat, and people invited me to come, but I didn't go because it was like my first week, and I didn't know a soul, and if I was even into this or what. So I didn't go, and that was fine. I was allowed to make that choice, but I didn't go. And honestly, for that whole year, I was kind of a fringer, okay? I was coming. I was showing up to stuff and meet people, learn their name, forget their name, go home, but I didn't really connect. I never kind of got drawn in. My sophomore year came around, and the fall retreat showed up again, and this year I went, because I had been involved, and I was comfortable with that, and I decided to come, and that might be the most significant kind of, like, in terms of relationships, community, with the exception of the educational psychology class, maybe the most significant decision I made when I was at JMU was to go to that fall retreat. I have very distinct memories of coming home on the Sunday after the thing, and I was just elated because I was in kind of the world. My college experience at that weekend kind of went from black and white to color. And I came home with a sense that I belonged. I was in. I knew people. I was known by people. I wasn't on the fringes. I wasn't kind of like trying to learn names, but I was in. And that is a joyful thing. That sense, if you've ever been somewhere where you felt like you didn't belong, it probably was pretty crappy. And if you've ever been somewhere where you belonged and it was home and you were loved, that's all good. And that was for me. And I think every year, literally for dozens of students, the fall retreat accomplishes that purpose. That's why we do it. The whole point of that thing is to help people belong and to get in, to be loved. they get plugged in. So that's coming up in like October 2nd to the 4th. 3rd? 2nd to the 4th? Yeah. Glory. There you go. I got married on October 3rd, right there. I always spend my anniversary with you people, which is good, but, you know, it's good. But October 3rd, so you guys could send us cards. That'd be great. But come to the retreat. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come, but that would be a make-or-break decision for you. So we hope that you'll come and join us there. That's it, right? Oh, no, let me close with this, okay? I don't want to leave you with the impression that God's the glory, the mind-boggling reality that God is Trinity. I don't want you to think that points no higher than our own amusement. So let me encourage you to think about this. When Jesus submitted to crucifixion, he did that so that you could enter the dance, so that you could enter into that relationship. Not that you'd become God, but that you could enter the community. He did it so that you could be invited to the party. That community of persons who've always known and loved each other also know and love you. And they want you in the dance. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have invited you to the party at inconceivable cost to themselves. In fact, the night before Jesus was crucified, this is what he prayed to the Father. This is from John 17. In light of all we've said about Trinity and what the dance is, listen to the language. Tell me if you don't hear this a little bit differently. Jesus said this, "I pray for all those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me." Do you hear that? You're invited to the dance. "May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." God the Son is asking God the Father to let you into the circle so that you can know and experience the love that they have always shared and extend to you. You guys, that should absolutely blow your mind. You are invited to the hub from which the universe sprang, to the source of everything good. They want you there. And we hope that you'll stick around. Things of this magnitude, of this sweetness, are really best savored in community. And so we'd love you to come back and to plug in and go deep with us as we talk about this, really, for the rest of the year. Well, let me pray for you, and we'll be set. Lord Jesus, Father, Spirit, we love you, we adore you, because you are the source of everything good. Everything good in the universe is from you, and you are better than everything else. It is really, at the end of the day, it's about you. You who are the perichoresis, the dancing about. You who are in yourself a relationship and who made us to be like you. But I pray for these good students, these people that are made in your image, that are made for relationships, that long for relationships. I pray that you would give them the longings of their heart this year, that they would find sweetness of intimacy and adventure and delight and joy and fellowship with other people. Lord, I pray that you would give them the sweetness and the joy of intimacy with you. And Lord, I pray for those here that don't yet know you. Lord, some that know they don't know you, some that think they do, but they have religion and no gospel. They have obligation and rules, but no love of the heart. I pray that you might change that this year. I pray by your grace you might use us to serve them well and to love them well, and to invite them deeper in to the very heart of the universe, to you, to the dance, to the center of everything. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much that you love us. You're the best. Amen.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.